United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming. I think we expect Directors Blair and Fairbanks, but we don't know that they're going to be absent. So, can we have a roll call vote for attendance, please?
Director Blair? Director Simon?
Yes.
Director Mendoza?
Yes.
Director Fairbanks? Director Small?
Here. We've got three of us in attendance. First thing on the agenda is the approval of minutes. Those directors in attendance here, if you've had time to review them.
I've got
one comment on them. I'll let others go first if either of you have comments.
I have no comments.
Okay. You okay, Alex? All right, on item number three, the reason I voted no on that one item was because I understood the motion. I heard the motion as including no further consideration of a resolution of intention until the DWR report is published. The motion was modified once or twice, though. It was my understanding that it included no further intention of that resolution until the DWR report was published, so I voted no on it based on that because they want to postpone things so long. The minutes don't reflect that. What did the tape reflect?
There are many motions made.
Yeah, it changed a couple of times.
Right.
What's the problem?
And I think there was some understanding that, as you point out, I don't think we should take, or the action is that the DWR report made, Mr. Simon should maybe clarify that, but that we would not take any consideration of the resolution's intention until the DWR report was completed.
Right. That was my only concern. I'm sorry I couldn't express it that night at the meeting. I had laryngitis for any of you that are here tonight and couldn't say a word. And I was like, trying to explain what I was thinking over here.
Although there
was pretty frustrating.
You know, consensus is that more information should be gathered before passing the resolution intention. And I think that's what kind of was respected in the minutes.
Yeah, I thought that's important that we have our meetings. I was in agreement with that part of the motion.
Yes, exactly.
That we discuss it further with other groups. I was in agreement with that, but I didn't agree with that one part of it.
I cannot recall the precise language that was used, but I do recall that it was changed on several occasions. And I really can't comment on it because I just don't recall specifically.
Okay.
Well, then, is it the intent of the board as the minutes read it, is lots of additional information is gathered? Resolution intention can go forward and proceeding with possibly getting more information on the groundwater management agency without waiting for the DWR report to be completed.
I would just suggest that we send it back to Donna to review the tapes and see if she can clarify it. And then if the board wants to pass the minutes, just pass the minutes reserving further action on item number three until it's either clarified by the tape as to exactly what the motion was, or in that or the alternative, just re-agenda it on the agenda to take further action on it. I think it would be inappropriate as part of the approving the minutes to reinvent the wheel.
I'm confident that one of the motions included the language I described, but I don't know if it was the last motion. Is what I'm fogging on. If I'm going to be put in here as voting no on something, I want it to be, my understanding of the motion as well.
That brings up
to explain the no vote. Right. And then if that's not the case, well then we'll just say Director Small misunderstood and the board continued in this fashion.
If the motion was that nothing would be considered until the DWR report comes in, and that was the intent of the board or because of all the confusion, can that be modified by the board?
Sure. The board can. You have to put it back on the agenda. To put it back on the agenda to reconsider that board action if it is going to be modified. But I think the most appropriate action to do would be send it back, reserve item number three, bring it back at the next board meeting to know precisely what the motion was, and then if the board wants to modify that motion, and at that time they could schedule for the following board meeting to reconsider whatever action was taken.
There you go. So if we get a transcript of the motion, then let you, you know, you in particular, then review it for accuracy, and then we'll react based on what our agreed motion is.
Well, the intent was until further action is taken. I'm not sure what the phraseology was, but the intent was that until we have further information, and the information was going to be available through a series of meetings with individuals from the audience.
Well, this Donna didn't have enough to do in Kathy's absence. Maybe
one
more stab at the tape. I don't know. I would even listen to it.
The reason some of the people that are opposing what we propose to do is probably for the
groundwater main or the passing resolution.
Passing the resolution. The reason they went away so happy is because it did contain specifically stated that there would not be any action taken until that water management report comes out.
The DWR report.
No passing the resolution.
If there would be any attempt to initiate that.
Well, there was a request made for that, but I'm not certain that that was included. It was part and parcel of the conversation that was going on between a number of people at the same time.
Right.
And that was brought up, but whether that was included in there, I just couldn't comment on it.
That was my understanding that it was as well. And that was the only reason for my no vote on it.
Right. And so what was proposed by the people in the audience, or primarily the Greenhouse Association, is that the resolution intent would not come up before the board without further publicizing it.
Exactly.
And, there's no problem with that because by law we have to publicize it. But I think it went further than that.
Okay.
Well, we can obviously review it, yes.
Now, just along with this, this afternoon there was the county water advisory committee meeting, and they discussed a number of things. But one thing they brought up is that they would like to have some input into the formation of the groundwater management agency on the Pomo Mesa, and they wanted to put it on their meeting for next month. And I think it's a general concept, not the plan, but the concept of managing groundwater basin. And unless the board has any objections, I thought it would be on their agenda.
I've got no objections to their suggestions.
I don't have any objections.
No, for some reason, some binding.
No, they just invite you to the board.
Yeah, that's pretty. Okay, I guess where we stand up on the approval of minutes, and is the chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes with the exception of item 3, which will undergo further review.
Yes, I so move.
The motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second?
Second.
And a second by Director Fairbanks. All those directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, nobody is opposed. Motion passed 4-0. With Director Blair currently absent. Okay, item number 2 is a public comments period. Does anyone in the audience like to speak for a limited 3 minutes, if you can, on an item that's not on the agenda tonight? Here's the time to do it. Any items that aren't agendized? Okay. Item 2 is closed. Item number 3 is board administration. We've got Mr. David Fitzgerald who wants to make a presentation to the board. And this is on public financing and leaseback arrangements. Mr. Jones, do you have any introductory words?
Yeah. Mr. President, the board has been considering building a new office building at their site across the street and reviewing different means of financing that project, and one means is a leaseback or method of doing it. And Mr. David Fitzgerald from the Genesis Corporation has experience in this area and is here to kind of inform the board and the procedure how this works.
Okay.
First, I'd like to thank you for
coming
to the
Excuse me, our
mics not there. Okay, well, that's okay. We can hear you fine. I'm just wondering about the tape. Is all. Yeah, speak up and they will pick you up on area mics.
Lease financing is very commonly practiced way of raising capital that you're going to pay back over a long period, which is basically putting out a commercial property to and it's basically a way in which cities, districts, water districts, towns, states gets around the issue of having to account for any kind of long-term capital and by way of debt. Certificates of participation are issued all over the state of California. Hundreds of millions of dollars are issued each year. We've done lots of these things for the city of Newport Beach. And it wouldn't fail if the board was so inclined in the direction. Perhaps a couple of hour workshop will open legal documents and we're still on these kinds of things and data and so forth. Our concern tonight would be that you understand that this is very much you buy your home, you're going to be committing yourself over a long period of time to earmark funds coming into the district. It can be general funds, it can be a special revenue fund itself. It's going to be paying interest in principal over the course of 10, 15, 20, 30 years, depending on the district's special. And we do want to make offers sure that we're quite careful, but sure, pragmatically, and going forward with this sort of arrangement. Our firm should be able to 50 to 60 of these things each and every year. A lot of things. Each and every year. This is fairly straightforward stuff. It's fortunate for the call from Doug, who has been on the percentage of some of the disposed financial advisors. And we can kind of go off in a different direction pursuant to the district report. I'm not quite sure as far as how deep you want to go in this particular conversation and kind of cut to the main grain as far as points and rates and all that sort of stuff. And again, there's not a right answer, not a wrong answer here. Today, if you're going to borrow for 30 years, you're probably doing about 7.5% or so. The issuance cost can vary a couple points, 5 or 6 points, depending upon the size of the borrowing. This can be done by having community services district act on its own. We can certainly hook up with other private entities. We have state pools from CSDA, is another option. We have done it with arranging a series of other CSDA financing outside of that particular deed. for an amount of money that's not $500,000 in the grand scheme of things, we certainly don't want to minimize it, because it's a rather small issue. So it's pretty straightforward for the power industry. Not terribly familiar with the district's background, just as far as weather conditions are concerned and so forth, so field location. But it's going to be put together into a tool if you get to certain size. So,
what's the basic difference, a cost comparison between establishing one of these lease, sublease agreements versus a conventional home mortgage loan?
Well, the advantage you have is that you're basically a government entity. The IRS is to help out the government entities that you establish 67 or 89 years ago. You can borrow a lot lower than if you go to local banks or any home mortgage because you are a government entity. So,
I thought that the rates you listed though were right around mortgage rate. It sounded like in the point sounded substantially higher.
Another mortgage 9%. I say 7.5%, that would be like a 30-year term bond. So if you wanted to pay it off sooner, probably 5-6%. I often try to err on the side of conservatism as opposed to the overly optimistic side. I don't know where the mortgages are,
because
I think they're
around 9%.
There's
some in Santa Maria under
7.8%. Well, in the Bay Area or in the Northwest,
what would 5 or 6 points do to the APR of 7.5%, rough?
Well, it typically is... may add 25 basis points or so to client's plan. There are some fixed costs that are tough to get away from. The state of California charges a regulatory fee. They'll come up with a regulatory office to require fees to render it to $1 million or $100 million. The point is, frankly, there are two big fees in the local system. One is the other one, to go off of the show. Those fees kind of fluctuate from about 1 point to 2.5. The other big fee is typically the bond cost. The lender has to do a legal agreement and two things associated. One, that those public improvements or those capital facilities are indeed and owned and operated by a governmental entity. And that two, the procedures, resolutions, and so on conform to California law. Lawyers in this particular arena typically say we start off at about $10,000 a lawyer. I'm sure Berkeley and so on is cognizant of the issue of fees and so on. Others start much higher, but those are the two issues that we need to find. If you're at $1 million, I would say realistically, we're probably talking 3 or 4 points. But you're probably good to get it down 2 or 3 points if you
Is there a combination of projects that would reach a million, Doug, that's foreseeable in the next couple of years?
Yeah.
A million is a pretty big chunk.
Right now, there's a new office building in some place, probably around $500,000, outside from the demolition and everything else. And then possibly recouping the cost of putting the water line in last spring, which is about $500,000, so it'll be close to $800,000.
Isn't there an expiration under which that would not qualify any longer?
Approximately a year, I think.
One other point I should bring out with the home mortgage issue is simply, typically these days, the rate issue is one that one of them is a hot offer. We're giving serious consideration to municipal bonds. Also, these banks, for a lot of consumers, it's often difficult to secure a long-term loan from the local bank. The banks typically are trying to have short-term issues and a lot of entities often say, well, typically it's the rate savings and
unless the agency is able to put an amount equal to the loan, not a secured account. I mean,
this
is what could happen.
Yeah, this should only be seen as an option. It should not be seen as an insane race. And then, of course, I'm sure district would stoop to finding different alternatives and options and so forth. And so tonight, here to share with you, if the league would like to consider the issuance of municipal bonds, probably to do this meeting to say, okay, to borrow 7.5%, probably a little bit high, let's get to 7.5% rather, probably points, 3-4 points to borrow for 3 years, put it together in 2 or 3 years. Now, where do we go from here, sir?
What's the difference between the district going and acquiring a cost funding and hiring out the contractor and everything else versus a lease back with a contractor to build a new office building?
Hiring a contractor?
And the contract would basically get, I guess, the funding or whatever he needs to do, and it'd be a lease back with the contract. We own the property, we rent it to him for a nominal amount. We build a thing, and then we have an agreement with him of a lease backing. But that's what I understand is the lease back how it works.
There are a couple of other issues that you're bringing up. That is, sometimes cities will say with the local contractor, you may be able to build it cheaper than the rules in which we have to build. If you're going to build it, that is, raise money through the issuance of a tax or a bond, require a contractor to pay for the wage. You can put it out for bid, you have to pay for the wage. It is an experience for some communities to say, okay, Mr. Contractor, you go build it. Once it's up and running, we'll buy it from that cost or some sort of profit margin. Tax exempt bonds can be used to help acquire that particular facility. But going forward with the long-term amortization, there will still be some sort of lease that we're still going to have lease transactions to do with the state. So I don't know whether we're losing the contractor. So one lease for the contractor per se. We have to lease and then we're going to have separate issues, but we're talking to the contractor about the most cost-effective way to build it.
What is the most cost-effective way to build it?
Oh, boy. I'm not, like an official and that's also getting into some political issues. Far and away, the experience of most community service issues down to the city of is,
So we go out and get the funding through cops or something, and hire an architect and a contractor build the building, and we pay them off, and the rent that we would pay in here would serve the cops' funding.
That sounds so
But again, if you were going to do this, the same way that we invest all the time and energy in the $500 million transaction, you invest the same sort of time and energy in the $500 million transaction. It still comes down to that you add a couple of zeros to the end of this, that you want to understand the costs involved in building it, you're committing yourself to a long term. This is a big deal. District members don't often call us. 10 years from now, you're still going to be appropriating the amount of money necessary to pay this off. So your successors are going to be in a position based upon your decisions. And how all that works is going to be politically the issues that we want to make darn sure we're pretty careful about.
But what if a future board votes to suspend any future involvement in this lease back with you?
Good.
We want our decision binding forever.
I don't see good luck with the contractor winning the end.
The district has had a number of bond issues and assessment issues, so they're somewhat familiar with long term.
Oh, the district has.
What are just a couple of the, and you don't have to list specific values, but give us an idea of what the fixed fees might be, and
I can list with you as best we can at the top of
regulatory fees that you're talking about.
Well, you have something called the California, California Public Security Association to have the Municipal Security Regulatory Body, Democratic Senate, have a PSIP, this is called a license, which separates your bond issue from all the other bond issues.
What was the name of that?
It's called PSIP.
Acronym. Now, these are pretty much established fees, and when they go with the account, you don't spread them unless you get a larger number, a larger borrowing number.
There is a cap. It'll probably all sum to about that.
No one
on
them?
The two larger fixed costs are going to be something called an offering memorandum. That's a circular to investors and it's called prospective memorandum. Those are going to cost $5,000, $20,000, and investors should have to receive to buy a particular issue. There's something of this size, probably $2,000 or $3,000. We have a trustee paying adjustment, and that's in addition to your annual interest and principal payments, depending upon with your bank, how you pay investors, that can be $100,000 or plus, and it also depends on the issue structure. The final two fees, if you will, could be a bond council fee, and sometimes it is called an underwriter's term for disclosure council, which is the price of the offering of the bank. And it can be a little bad. So, as I said, starting with this, we're trying to get a couple of points. $10,000 council fee, $5,000 for disclosure council fee. They typically half what bond council fees are considered.
Sounds like a lot for that too. On a $400,000 amount.
Yeah, on a $400,000. If you were at the $400,000 amount. Probably what can happen because it is small. What are the things that we can do to speed it down? Well, we could probably make copies of our copy for your efficiency. We don't have to send it off to you. But it's 50 copies. You're not going to get the nice, shiny, bound.
Katie wrote the first book.
Yeah, so I'm saying you could probably skin it down by a point or two if you were going to focus in on the 400,000.
Probably about $10,000
to $15,000.
Now the other question would happen if we, request a $500,000 and do not spend that dollar amount, somewhat less.
Well, a couple of ways to have it. One, we will set it up so that the extra money could be used to call a lot. Two, shift that over from the debt service to make it appropriate to some fiscal year transition. So the money will be used by a call-in issue or a debt service. Experience in most districts, they don't have that issue. They don't have that issue. So
you end up paying, how far in $400,000 to the
$500,000? Yeah, so you want to be pretty careful. Probably would be a good idea to get bid in for the office to say, at least have a contractor in town that the trip is comfortable with and staff and the ownership of the cost. I'd say if we raise $500,000, we're off $100,000, well, that's 20%. A lot of the state business people, I'm sure, are the board here and in the audience, some of the business people are off 20%.
What's the
types of things can be used to, can the money be used to pay? Can it cover architectural fees as well as construction costs? Okay. Everything associated with it. Gotcha.
What is a prepayment penalty if you decide you want to pay for it?
For something this small, the way in which bonds are typically sold, more often than not, it's meant to pay off the payment. And after 10 years, probably the 3% penalty kind of declines the cost. For something of this sort, probably a much quicker, something like that, 1 to 3 years. I want this to sound like $400,000, a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money within the municipal department. So this is all going to be a lot of money.
So you suggest the procedure is that we go out and basically hire an architect to design the building, go out and get bids on it, the building, and then when that dollar amount comes in, then set up the funding for that dollar amount.
A lot of different ways to go about it. It's really a function of what the district feels is going to happen. It would just seem pragmatically, again, once you raise the money, the team of interest, and then there's your critics. Why would you want to start full interest? Mainly some sense just to what you're looking for, at least get a pretty good idea what that cost is all about. We don't ask you, I'm sure they're going to order you out of the bid and so forth, strictly in your policy decision.
Do you provide cooling and ventilation for that?
We've got all kinds.
Do you have a regular set schedule?
We
get solicited
with
one to have one in
the
spring, one in the fall.
We do it when we tell us. We have one right now,
and then that would lower our financing costs if we were able to pull. Yeah.
Although, there is what I would call a point of diminishing returns at $400,000. We got some fees that just vary no matter how plus how you go. And to capture a dramatic point or two drop, the $400,000 operation, I wouldn't say that it's a little bit better.
Do you have
Okay. Are there any further questions by board members?
I just got one. What does the future look like for interest rates? Do you see them?
We all know. If we did know, none of us would be working next year. What's the future like?
Let me ask you this. Are they leveled off? They've been leveled for a period of time? Are they declining? Are they rising?
Hey, I can draw my own conclusion.
Sure.
I can tell you what Morgan Stanley's doing. I can tell you what the Sachs is doing. Whether or not that's appropriate for you all should not be a reason why you do a high shoe down and do a high shoe. I can tell you, we can go work and stand a short 5 billion dollars a year. It's just a good thing. And then that, $5 billion. Not millions, it's not. It's kind of putting the money in your mouth and have the money or not. We will. Most emphatic, only because we're in the future.
You say on the private market, does the district go up to the local bank and get funding for project like this?
I would encourage you to do that. I would bring to your attention, as I done to the students mentioned earlier, the experience of a lot of districts. Local banks is
could we go out and incur long-term financing with the existing government code in California? Can the district do that from a local bank?
Can the district incur long-term lease financing?
Or just a long-term loan from a local entity?
Local entity being
the
bank?
Yes.
They can. I have not heard too many instances of that. And I would certainly encourage you all to talk to local bankers. And if they do, then they'll be able to answer.
Pacific Genesis, you got employees in California and Washington, I understand that, right? But where's your closest office? San Francisco?
Well, we see San Francisco, and we have one down in Dallas. Sounds like I should confess now, I'm in Yorkers, and we'll add to the geographical proximity in a different direction. My dad's in Chapel, Stanford,
and I guess the lead from First California Capital is non-adversarial. It's not track of lawsuits. Track. It's just that the informed in 1995, it appears you guys are so new, but your staff apparently has a lot of experience in prior around. Yeah, there's a nice run, there's a nice rundown experience of your people in there. I appreciate your information you provided us.
We do a lot of stuff with successful bonds and kind of
what type of paperwork and, you know, documents that the board has to approve to get something like this rolling and pass resolution to create a certain entity?
Yeah, something like this. You know, just get us to the authorization. We'll probably just try to get us a couple of weeks beforehand. We'll encourage drafting a little bit out there and see what we put together the prospectus, you know, the type of something. We'll get your attorney general, perhaps a couple of board members to kind of just walk through this at least a couple of weeks before we get to the authorization so that there's kind of a dialogue and there are these problems and everybody's meeting to if they were comfortable and the board's direction was then about to have a week to have a chance to figure it out and we'll see that on future university of college students.
More questions, Mr. Fitzgerald?
Excuse me. No, I think it was a nice presentation.
Well, we should have asked. And I just said, if any of you would like to report, please give us a lot of time in the next couple of days. I'm not sure how in it some of these procedures are. But we think we did a job to do it. Thank you for the opportunity. We'd like to show up.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is it Mr. Alderson? Did you want to add anything or say anything to the board? That's a good time.
No,
okay. Just wanted to give you the opportunity to, in case you had some stuff. We need to review this a little further, obviously, and talk more amongst ourselves. But thank you very much for your time and your presentation. Is there any audience questions or concerns you might want to ask of the board? Or our presenters as we have them. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Nice seeing you. Thank you. Okay. Well, that takes care of item number 3 on public financing. Item number 4 is regarding the SCADA project. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President. District put in a SCADA, which is a supervisory collection and data acquisition system called SCADA, to run the district's sewage system, water and wastewater operation. The district had basically purchased all the hardware and software and hired the fluid control system to install all the telemedium system and put the SCADA system together. Contract was let back in 1963, last fluid control system, Mr. Larry Seeker has been working on it and installing the hardware, and he's run a couple of problems, but has many of them resolved. He has been given till today to get the system up and working. He's been given a punch list, and he's been working on the punch list, and Mr. Seeker is in the audience, and he can speak to his work.
Okay. The little memo that was given here said there was an August 95 deadline or something. We're now in September, but I guess that was extended up.
Right.
Or maybe that August 95 is not.
Well, that was the last Thursday.
Okay, what are the main problems with the system now as we see it? How far away are we from getting it real?
The board established the terrain and recommended the board Mr. Seeker was in default of this contract since the system is not ready to be up and running at this time. Like I say, he's been working on it, and he can speak how close he is to completing the matter before the board takes any action.
Okay. Mr. Seeker? Again, okay, there you are. Anything you'd like to say?
Sure. I don't want to spend a lot of time going through the problems we've had in the past trying to get this system to work. It's been a horrendous task for us. We spent some time, as a matter of fact, for countless, unfortunately, we're way beyond the profit level, but we want to try to maintain some sort of reputation with the company and with you folks, and we're trying to finish the project. At the time of the writing of the agenda, it looked as though we were not going to be able to complete the final portion that we had in front of us, and as of last week, we were able to make that portion of software function, and so at this particular time, we'll see about two more weeks of work to be complete, and out of the project, and we're due to ask for indulgence for that amount of time, and to also apologize for the amount of time it's taken. I can give you a very long list of reasons for why we spent this much time. If you wish, at this particular point, Mr. Jones is well aware of where we're at and the reasons for the project taking this long. And I'm sorry that we're here to have to speak to you, and I really wish that you would allow us to complete the project. And I was meeting with your superintendent, Mr. Douglas, this afternoon, going through the punch list, showing him the items that were completed. So he is aware that those items are working, and we have just a couple of items left as part of the operation to do, and just some cleanup of the reports that are being generated, and the training of the staff and the manuals to give you. We see that work taking more than 3 days.
Okay, what's the couple of checklist or punch list items that are outstanding? Can you just briefly tell me what those are?
We are having some problems with generating alarms in communication areas. And we know what the problems are at this point. It's just a matter of cleaning up the software to make those function in the ports. One of the other items is generating some graphs of the pressures and flow rates, that kind of thing. On an automatic basis, we can do it now manually, but at this point, haven't generated an automatic. We've been having the same problem with the report generation, the written report, and we overcame that hurdle. It's the same process for generating these graphs, and we're very sure that we'll be able to do that.
Is it equipment compatibility that created the problem?
More software incompleteness and bugs that caused us the largest part of the problem. The package we received when we started was a modified version of a package we had used on a couple of other projects and had been successful.
that the Paragon that you're referring to? Paragon Soccer? Okay.
And then at that point, there was still time.
He's been out there, I guess, today, most of the day, working on some things, so I have talked to Lee in the meantime. It's setting alarms. Some of the controls of the wells have not been functioning, but he indicated today he's got no problems resolved. And there's some report generation that needs to be completed. And he indicated within a week and possibly 2 weeks the most he could have all these problems resolved.
Are the alarms we're referring to also those related with monitoring of tank levels?
Yeah.
Like we had the problems, that one weekend.
Right.
Okay. Same type of thing. And then, would you say, Mr. Siebert, that after, if you're given the opportunity to finish the work, after it's done, is this Paragon TNG one of those things that we're throwing good money after bad, or is it still, state-of-the-art software? I mean,
still state-of-the-art. I think the package was put out way too early. I think they had big hopes for it, and it just didn't come around. But they, I've had terrific factory support. It's just that it took them a while to solve their problems. We can all say that the factory let us down in the support, but in putting this package out so early, they certainly hurt me.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is, maybe I'm not phrasing this properly, but the foundation, the principles on which the software is built, whether it be table referencing, whether it be checksums, whatever it uses to as its own monitoring, is it still what it should be? Or is there something out there that's gone a totally different direction that maybe we should consider in your estimation as an upgrade to what we've got now? What's your opinion on it?
Currently, I think there are simpler ways to go about the end to which we've come. But that's because of developments that's happened over the past few years. But I think this project was such a far leap ahead that you're still in an area where software is beneficial. And it's going to be around a while. It's a multitasking package. New packages that are coming out or that have recently come out are trying to be multicast. And so this was a package that was put out to circumvent some of the difficulties with industrial type operating systems. To put this on a plane where most of us PCs that understand and can deal with, give the smaller user some benefit from the types of things more advanced software to do, and you have plenty of capacity and capability for future operations with this package. And now that most of the bugs are out, I think that it would be really
Paragon TNT still pretty much represented at the AWWA conferences and whatnot, or are they?
I didn't see him there. There's some other packages, Wonderware, Illusion, which I'm not sure that they're running on Windows, which is a 32-bit operation, not a full multitasking system. Illusion has massaged their software, so it comes out like multitasking. When I say multitasking, you can go into the machine and have the control beam going on and doing some other tasks. And with Windows 95 coming out, and that's supposed to be, I think, a 32-bit. But I think they're having bugs with it.
Some things are called multitasking, and they're not true, though.
That's
establish
right.
A priority and run one
right.
At a slower rate and run one at an upper rate.
Right, and as I understand, you have to have a 32-bit operation to be multitasking.
Yeah.
And the other ones are just 16-bit, but they've, like I say, massaged them to get around that shortcoming. And I think Windows 95 is supposed to be a 32-bit operation. But I understand they're having problems with it. It runs, you can load it on 16-bit operation. And then on a Windows NT, is that supposed to be 32-bit operation? So, they've come out, Paragon has now come up with a 3.0, and I think they worked on 3.1.
If it doesn't create undue delays for staff, I'm not a, against at least talking to Lee and seeing how it runs. And,
yeah, I mean, we've been 2 years.
See how far they are on the
another place. 2 weeks. Right. I don't have any problem with that.
Okay.
Or just with the understanding it will not be extended beyond 2 weeks.
Yeah. Any board questions or concerns about allowing another 2 weeks?
Not here.
Okay. Any questions or concerns from the audience? Okay.
I think a motion would be appropriate right. then to continue this till the next
okay.
Board meeting.
Yeah, Chair will entertain a motion that we, you know, we put off any consideration this resolution for termination of the agreement until time past the next meeting. We allow 2 weeks, and we allow 2 weeks for further work by Mr. Siebert.
That'll be September 20th.
Okay.
I shall move.
A motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay, and a second by Director Fairbanks. All those directors in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Nobody's opposed. Okay.
Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you for coming, Mr. Schaefer. All right. That takes care of item four. Item number five is regarding the purchase of a pickup. Mr. Jones.
Here, Mr. President, we sent out a request for a bid proposal to acquire a new pickup truck for the district operations, and we received four bids back. Stanley Motors, McClellan Ford, Kimball Motor Company, and Stanley Motors. A couple of the vehicles had air conditioning on it, which was approximately $800, which is deducted off their bid price to make all the vehicles competitive in the same range. And itself, Santa Maria Ford was the basically lowest bid proposal at $14,438. We budgeted $14,000 current year budget, and the additional $438 would come out of the contingency fund. And it's a staff recommendation that the district purchase the new Ford from Santa Maria Ford, the low bidder, and also. We are replacing a 1988 Chevy 1/2-ton pickup truck, and the resolution basically covers both of these, awarding the purchase of the new vehicle to Santa Maria Ford and declaring the existing district vehicle, the 88 Chevy 1/2-ton pickup truck, as surplus and therefore to be sold to the highest bidder.
Can the guys in the field need the air conditioning in that truck? I mean, I think it's been hot lately, man.
Today.
Do our other trucks have air conditioning?
I think two of them do. The other two do not.
Oh,
well,
I know. Okay. It's really, $800 for air conditioning. Someone in the field needs it, but that's a heck of a good price, $14,000 for a 96 Ford with a V8 in it. I mean, not a strip of price. Any board questions or concerns regarding the recommendations?
Are the 95 more loaded or something?
I was surprised, unless it's a typo error, but he said 1996 on there, but maybe they found something playing a little cheaper trucks.
Yeah.
Next year.
Sometimes they take advantage of package discounts or whatnot. Now their dealer might not. Who knows?
I think it's a good bid.
Any questions or concerns from the audience regarding this? Purchase of a Ford pickup? Anyone want to buy the 88?
Yeah. What's the new one? Can I have that?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. 88 Chevy half ton. Okay, Chair will entertain a motion then that we accept the bid from Santa Maria Ford. And this would include a reading of adopting of a resolution authorizing the purchase of the new truck and the declaration of the 88 Chevy as surplus for sale to the highest bidder. If we have the resolution read in title only,
Yes. This is a resolution of the Board of Directors in the Pomo Community Service District.
95.
95-truck.
Approving the purchase of a vehicle and declaring certain district vehicles would be surplus and authorizing your disposal. This resolution would award the contract to Santa Maria Ford in the amount of $14,438 and would also declare the current 1988 Chevy one-half-ton pickup as surplus to be sold to the highest bidder.
Okay. Chair, I'll entertain a motion that we affirm what Mr. Seitz just outlined.
I move we approve resolution number 95-truck.
Got a motion by Director Mendoza. Do I have a second?
Yes, I second.
A second by Director Simon. Roll call vote, please, on the resolution.
Director Mendoza.
Yes.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Jeremy.
Yes.
Director Small.
Yes. All directors vote in affirmative. Okay, item number six. Review of the system fee nomenclature. According to district codes, got some proposed changes here. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, under new codes coming out in the government's code, it classifies our system fee as a capacity fee, and I'll let the legal counsel who did some research on this explain the procedure.
All right. We've been aware, we've had some conversations how our current codes don't necessarily comply with our budgetary requirements from a definitional point of view. In 1990, the California legislature added Chapter 7 and 8 to Title 7 of the Government Code, which sort of outlines the procedures and the definitions regarding the levying of sewer fees and water fees. And as part and parcel of that legislation, there was Government Code Section 66013, which was a definitional section and had to do with capacity charges. We've been using it as sewer system fees. It's caused a little bit of havoc in our budgetary process, and it's just good policy to have our code sections dovetail with the government code sections that regulate our ability to levy these fees and services. So basically what staff has prepared is ordinance number 1995-82. This is really part and parcel of the district's enacting our new codes. What the process we're in now as far as that part goes is we're enacting the last of our code sections to modify our previous adoption, and then once this is done, we should have a completed and up-to-date code section. So this also dovetails into our ongoing code adoption. Basically, what we've done here is we've added the term capacity charge to our definitions. We've revised all the pertinent code sections that talk about sewer system fees, and have converted that to sewer capacity charges. We've also moved the definitional section from one part of the code. It seemed to have been trapped in the water code part of our code and should have been trapped into the introduction because all those definitions apply throughout the code. So we've modified that.
That was the deletion from one section.
Right. We restated another. And that's basically what this code section, what this ordinance would do. What staff is recommending for tonight is that we accept the ordinance for introduction and set the public hearing for our next regular scheduled meeting and take appropriate comments from the public and from the board prior to making the appropriate motion.
Okay. So really the meat of the changes are on page 1 and 2, and really everything thereafter is
right.
It's simply a search for the phrase system fee and replacing with capacity charge, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Just for continuity purposes. That makes sense. Pretty soon we're going to have so many addendums and changes to our code about being published.
Well, that's exactly what, and it was anticipated that would happen. that we would enact the code section, and then we would staff would take a look at the code section, see how it really operates in a daily flow of thing, and massage it, and then go back for one more time. And I believe what staff anticipates doing is the next time around is consider buying the software, because all the from here on in should be just little minor changes depending on how circumstances change within the district. And rather going back to book publishing, we can just do it in-house and not incur those types of fees. So, I think this is probably the fifth series of code modifications. It's about the fifth ordinance if we adopted this that we brought back to the board. Of course, the major one was the one on how we go about billing our clients, our customers, which we just adopted.
Right, and most of the other ones have been relatively minor. But
right.
It's good that we've got a working copy here that we're keeping up to date. Board, questions?
Yeah, I've got a question in terms of the capacity charge. Mm-hmm. 1 inch or less, 1.5, and 2 inch. Are these commercial or is this residential?
Anyone with a meter size, residential or commercial.
What is the standard meter size, if there is such a thing?
Basically, most residents take a 1-inch meter.
And commercial?
Depends on their demand on their system.
But each of them must have a back foot, isn't that true?
If they have a sprinkler system or an on-site well, depending on some commercial do not have back flow because they don't have any potential. If they have an irrigation system, usually there's some form of back flow today.
Okay.
Well, in the case of a fire protection sprinkler system, it's a separate water system altogether.
Yes, it depends on the size of the development. There's a new, I think, law just came out where residential homes can use the same water service for fire protection.
That's really smart if you think about it, though. If the water doesn't come on their faucet, they know that they don't have very good fire protection. It's an immediate indicator. Commercial businesses normally check those things. Required to flush them and whatnot. Any other questions or comments on the proposed? Any questions or comments from the audience? Well, probably not many of you have had the opportunity to read the draft. But if there is any question of us or staff regarding what we're looking at, we've got a draft ordinance. And, of course, we'll make any formal motions in a moment. But regarding simple change from system fee to capacity charge, which makes more sense, and Katie asked for that. But there's some inconsistencies in language. Capacity charge describes it more intuitively, though, because really it's reserving space in a system and paying for capacity of service. So if there's no questions or comments out there, then I'll entertain a motion that we read the ordinance in title only at first. And this will be an introductory reading.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we read the ordinance in title only.
Do I have a second?
Yes.
A second. Okay, a motion by Director Fairbanks and a second by Director Simon. All directors in favor of reading the proposed ordinance in title only, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed.
This is ordinance number 1995-82, an ordinance of the Board of Directors of the Pomal Community Service District amending Title I, comma, Title III, and Title IV in the Pomal Community Service District Code.
Okay, Chair will entertain a motion then that we adopt ordinance number 1935, an introductory reading thereof, and then we establish a public hearing. Do we have a date? September 20 would be the next meeting. Okay. And then we establish a public hearing for September 20th to consider public comments and further adoption. Chair will entertain a motion that we adopt this ordinance.
Lisa, move.
Okay. I have a motion by Director Simon, a second by Director Fairbanks. Although we need a roll call vote.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Director Fairbanks?
Yes.
Director
yes. Director yes. Okay, the public hearing on that will be September 20th. Bring
questions and concerns to that meeting, and we'll consider second reading and adoption of that ordinance. Item number 7 is regarding district insurance. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, the district belongs to the California Special District Association and contracts with the Special District Risk Management Authority for its insurance coverage. District presently has a $2.5 million policy for occurrence aggregate for comprehensive general liability and public official liability. It also carries auto liability in the amount of $2.5 million per occurrence. We received notice from the authority, our insurance carrier, that if the district wishes to increase the insurance additional $3 million, the premium would be $892.50. And this would be over and above the existing policy. The policy is a quite liberal policy. When I went through it, it only exempts if the board is flying around an airplane, their own airplane, or operating a skateboard or a bungee jumping facility. But everything else is covered.
There goes our plans for an expansion of Leighton Towers right there. Bungee jumping facilities.
So, anyway, we kind of checked around the county, and other agencies or special districts range from about $1 million up to $10 million, and depending on their coverage. The premium is fairly reasonable for additional $3 million, but since this is a policy decision, whether the board wants to increase the overall premium to $5.5 million with an additional premium of something less than $900.
That would be 5.5 on auto liability and 5.5 on general liability.
Right.
They're separate
right.
policies, or
that's my understanding.
Separate parts of the same policy.
Right.
What's I couldn't find anything in here on current premium. What's our current premium? I know 892 is the increase, but
I believe it's about $32,000.
That's our current premium.
That's between the boiler.
That includes the boiler.
Okay.
And the only reason you're considering it is because other municipalities have a higher than we do?
No, they offer to us, and so you know, we're just bringing it to the board, see if the board wants to increase it.
Is there a formula we should be following here based on cap, based on current assets, exposure, what types of things should we consider in establishing a coverage amount?
Go ahead.
It's things that immediately come to mind, but I'm wondering.
Well, I think typically the number one thing that you want to do is take a look at where your risks are.
Right.
Okay. The second thing that you want to take a look at is what's it going to cost you to cover those risks.
We just bought a Ford, so our risk is high.
I think what impressed staff about this coverage was the cost of it. Whether or not $2.5 million is enough, the one thing that we did do, staff attended the general manager's meeting of the special districts and made inquiry about what the typical range was insurance for special districts to see how this was. I think there was 5 districts in attendance. 2 of them had a total package of $10 million each. One had $5 million, one had 2, and of course this district has 2.5. And what was discussed there was that this is a pretty reasonable cost to increase it your coverage by that amount, and that's why it's being brought to the board.
It's a 3% increase in premium for doubling the coverage.
Yeah. Right.
And look, I think Templin Community Service District had $10 million, but they have recreation and fire, so that their exposure is greater.
There's a lot of personal individuals that are pretty well-to-do that have million-dollar policies, general liability policies. I don't think it's out of the realm that we carry $5 million as a business, but I don't know. What do you think, Al? Mr. Johnson, bring some of that.
I believe in insurance, and if it's this price versus what is it, $32,000 currently for the 2.5, and an additional $892 for another two buy, or three really. I think that's a heck of a good buy. And I believe in insurance. I think it's a must.
He's spoken like a good attorney.
That's my next life.
I'm going to come back as a golfer, so you and I will be a perfect swap.
I did have one question. What historically around here, is there any reference to lawsuits?
Of course, currently we have this district has one. It's the Brenizer litigation that is winding its way. I would say, from a special district's point of view, from the ones that I've represented, their exposure hasn't been all that great. Now, I know a couple of the cities have been exposed to some major litigation costs, and typically those types of litigations, this district, along with other special districts, would be subject to it. It's just that I think basically because of the cities are more complex, they have more employees, there's more exposure. But I'm not familiar with a whole lot of litigation against special districts other than the one that we have going on right here.
Mike, could I just follow up?
Sure.
What you stated about this insurance not covering Brenizer cases is in fact wrong. I was rather surprised that they are just providing a defense to the district on that litigation.
No, I meant the amount.
The coverage.
The coverage. The original amount I saw was in excess of this.
Right.
That's what I meant.
Okay. And this district, because it does not maintain roadways, and because there are not a great deal of public works associated with this district, its exposure is relatively low compared to cities and the county. Your primary exposure seemingly would be the area of automobile in that area. You can imagine all sorts of catastrophic situations, I guess.
More equipment operators, cave-ins, all that kind of stuff. Lawsuit the smell from the sewer pond. Don't give them any ideas. Okay, that general principle, you know, you always hear about the increased coverage amount encourages settlements instead of litigations. I mean, do our attorneys in the house have any feelings on that?
Yeah, I have a real That may well apply to individuals, you know, like you, me, to governmental agencies. That doesn't apply at all because we have a general fund. I mean, that would ultimately be subject to payment on litigation. So,
deep pocket.
We're a deep pocket to start with. The fact that how much insurance we have, in my view, would deter very few lawsuits.
It does seem like a reasonable increase in premium for a substantial increase in coverage on the surface. Any questions or concerns from audience members? Okay. Chair will entertain a motion, however you folks think we ought to do this.
I make a motion that we...
Okay, motion by Director Fairbanks to pay the additional premium for the additional coverage. Do I have a second?
If nobody else will, I will.
Okay, I have a second by Director Simon. Motion by Director Fairbanks, second by Director Simon to pay the $892 and get the additional $3 million coverage. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, nobody is opposed. Motion passed unanimously.
Obviously, they think our risk factor is low.
Right.
Sounds good to me.
And they know we got $900 too. Okay. Item number 8, the Financial Committee report. start with Mr. Jones, I guess, and then we go right to the subcommittee members.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, board members, the Finance Committee met of Director Fairbanks and Director Simons and staff, and we reviewed two things: the draft audit report and the possibility of publishing a condensed budget. And I'll let the committee take it from there on our discussion.
Okay. We're ready.
I yield to Katie.
Oh, my gosh. We met and we reviewed the draft audit, and I guess it'll be available in 2 weeks, something like that. That's the next meeting, and we have a very good report about our staff.
All right.
Yeah, the auditor will appear at the next meeting and discuss the report to the whole board.
Okay, now that's the draft audit. Did you discuss using the audit or portions of the audit as part of the publication, or how'd that go as far as the...
There was general discussion that we put out a second newsletter and include some of this information in the second newsletter.
Yeah, and there were two considerations. One was to publish just a financial report. The second one was to publish a statement that an audit had been held and approved. Then to talk about some of the other problems that the district might have currently or they might occur to them. And the thought was that it should be probably put in the form of a newsletter. It would be a little easier to get the kind of information to the public that really it deserves. The newspaper, quite a number of people obviously wouldn't read it, couldn't see it, wouldn't care about it.
But we thought
that the newsletter, and particularly after the first newsletter, which at least in the area where I live was a great success, it really was very impressive to all of the people that read it, and I think the second one would bear that same kind of success.
Was it kind of the general feeling that to condense the budget predictions, you know, too small, too condensed, the newspaper would probably do the whole thing injustice and maybe just encourage
it would go into the public notices section anyway, and no one's going to read it.
Wouldn't get the exposure.
So it wouldn't really get the exposure. Plus, that goes to everyone in the discussion with the newsletter, was that it goes to our paying customers who are affected by it.
Right. That sounds more correct.
Yeah, and technically, the audit was, I thought, incredibly good. It was pretty magic in some areas, the way they did those figures. They shot them around.
I've seen it already.
Yeah. No, it was an excellent audit in every way, shape, and form. And I think Lisa deserves a lot of credit in terms of what she did to prepare the information for the auditor.
I agree.
And just keeping our costs, our auditing costs down.
Yeah.
Like doing the work, a lot of the work.
That's okay. Well, that sounds positive, I guess. Anything? Did you have anything to add, Lisa? Anything particularly you wanted to say?
Central District Risk Management Authority, our insurance company, does require that the auditor come and make a presentation. So that is one of the reasons why Carlos is coming. But he typically does that. It is a requirement on a renewal question. We have to provide that we have had some. I guess it has been problems in the past where people have forged audit reports.
Okay, since we've considered past motions, I don't know if the motion's ever been formally considered in a meeting, but might we consider a motion tonight just to say that we want to consider the publication of budget materials in the newsletter instead of the public notice section? Should we consider that, or do you just want to take staff direction and do that regardless?
We can come back with a new
council.
Yeah, you may want to, just as a suggestion, wait until Carlos presents his audit report and take a look at the audit report and pick and choose what sections you want to publish, and then just sort of take it all in one motion that we direct staff to prepare a newsletter and publish this portions of the audit. Or
well, I thought Alan and Katie said that we're going to say in the newsletter that we might.
Whatever. I'm just.
We might.
But at least I had prepared a fairly nice little condensed thing, and I think that's basically the way we should go with something like that, with the addition of, you know, explanations about, you know, that we have had an audit and all this good stuff, and we're going to explain the attorney fees just a little.
His fees are very reasonable.
And then I need to go on and talk about the different things we're intending to do, like we are doing, and the cost of the crossing the bridge with the new lines and so on.
Then the motion would be appropriate. Now.
And we will start working on a newsletter, and we'll provide a grant to the board before when that's the
conversation. Okay. Could you condense that? Make sure that Al, you guys are seeing 100% eye to eye. This is how you saw the outcome of the meeting. You want that in the newsletter, a condensed version. Give me a condensed motion, I guess, is what I'm looking for. He said,
we request staff to put out a newsletter, including the financial information.
There you go. Okay.
We'll make a motion that we direct staff to put out a newsletter with financial information.
Okay.
I second that motion.
And a second by Director Simon. All those directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nobody's opposed. That takes care of item number 8. Land development, item number 9. Is regarding track 2210, Princess Equities and New Doll, modification of a prior will serve letter. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, I told the developer third time's a charm.
Uh-huh.
This is the third time this track has been brought to the board. Previously, it was track 1759, which is an 8-lot subdivision. Then it changed to track 2210, which turned into a 10-lot subdivision. And the developer found out that he can throw in an additional 5 commercial lots without any additional cost or fees with the county. And so he chose to throw them in, and now it's a 15-lot subdivision.
Well, you can't fault him for that.
No. And so he's requesting that a will serve letter be issued by the district for the 15 lots, which was previously 10 lots, and it's recommended that the existing will serve letter be modified to for 15 will serve for water and sewer with the conditions outlined in the board letter.
The 5 commercial lots, everything's still within district boundaries.
That's correct.
5 commercial lots is outlined on this little map here.
Yeah, the 5 commercial lots front on the south frontage road near Southland, and then there's a road behind those lots where there's 10 residential lots.
Okay.
So the easiest way would be just to modify the existing 10 lots under track 2210, the intent to serve letter.
To include 5 additional lots, 5 additional commercial lots.
Yeah.
Are there any track representatives here? I see a couple of new faces. I didn't know if you knew Mr. Newdall. No. Okay. Board's questions or concerns? Anyone for putting a 3-time limit on this? This doesn't happen very often. No big deal. All right. Well, any concerns by you, Mr. Jones?
No.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion then that we modify the will serve letter track 2210 from 10 lots to 15 lots to include those 5 commercial lots.
Okay, so moved.
A motion by Director Simon. And a second by Director Fairbanks. All directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nobody's opposed. Track 2210 is so modified. Item number 10 is a financial report, approval of warrants. Directors got those tonight. We have a moment to look at them. And after we have to take a moment to look at those, if you have any questions, just blurt them out. God, that PG&E bill is huge. $33,000. Did that include something more than just energy costs?
Street lighting.
Street lighting, okay.
Doug, what do you rent for this trip?
Usually, just equipment for,
what they did, that was one of the budgeted items. They purchased a 60-pound jackhammer for $900. They tend to buy, like, if they need to show them all their Easter rentals and stuff, show them all.
They have to have equipment.
But that's the big thing with the jackhammer.
The jackhammer was actually called out in our budget, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was one of the items that we reviewed.
Yeah, we budgeted $1,000, and I think the invoice came up to $973. The check was cut for a few other items.
Oh, okay.
Any questions or concerns regarding the warrants? Anyone in the audience want to ask us what our bills are?
I have a question on that $30,000 energy cost. That's a monthly for the entire system.
Yeah. Water well pumpages and all electrical
power. The bucket is water pumping.
Right.
That's what we're trying to get the SCADA system up. The problem is our major demand is in the morning and the afternoon, and our reservoir tankage isn't sufficient to.
We are still able to fill tanks to a degree in the evenings and then flow out during the day, but I mean there's a period of time during the day when we have to replenish the tank supplies.
Right. But we have a water sewer master plan coming due. In fact, the draft will be here day after tomorrow. And we talked about things with the engineer and probably putting one of our wells on a gas engine. So we'd be using natural gas to power water instead of electricity. It's a two-thing. We could use that during high peak times and turn off and low peak times use other water. And also as a backup case, we have a major power failure. We have a pump capacity still maintained.
Yeah, so you're working with California Energy Commission
Well, not yet. I've talked to just some gas suppliers.
They have some interesting information on that.
Yeah, we're getting an environmental thing, a noise pollution problem.
Can we have your name for the minutes in case Donna wants to write down your name for the questions?
Tony Ferrari.
You wasn't Ferrari. You worked in the electrical system at the market. Any other questions or concerns for warrants? Okay.
Chair, I'll entertain a motion that we approve the warrants. Sir.
I make a motion we approve the warrants.
Motion by Director Fairbanks. Do I have a second? Second by Director Mendoza. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nobody's opposed. Motion passed unanimously. Director Blair absent. Item number 11 is the manager's report. Mr. Jones.
Now, Mr. President, attached is the notice of the new library groundbreaking ceremony, which will be this Friday, 15th week from Friday at 2 p.m. I recommend maybe a member of the board should be there to watch the process if so interested.
Okay.
And
I'll try to make that September 15th.
And then the California Nevada section of the American Water Works Association is having a fall conference in Santa Clara. On October 17th through the 20th, the technical program, I've made copies for the board of all the items going on for those times for the board. If anyone's interested in attending, please notify staff. We'll make arrangements. And then we have some correspondence from the Regional Water Quality Control Board on secondary dwellings, which is written to the county. Basically, the Regional Board has taken the position that if a granny house wants to be built on a parcel, it has to be 2 acres or larger. 1 acre parcels will not support a granny home. And it's interesting their rationale and the legal support that they have sent the board.
If you read it carefully, it kind of makes sense. But I didn't immediately, from that passage, while new septic tank, you know, tanks, blah, blah, those three lines, and then their conclusion that mandates 2 acre parcel. I didn't immediately get it until I read their full explanation.
I thought it was interesting.
I now understand it though.
Which kind of relates to maybe the groundwater management aspect of it. The two wells that they have monitored on the mesa, the nitrates have increased substantially, which the agency could be monitoring and possibly protecting the groundwater basin from contamination. And the other thing is the boil report, draft reports due to staff on Friday, which we'll probably review and make some recommendations. If not, then it should come back to the board, final draft next month.
Did you want to say anything about the Napoma Network meeting that we attended? Okay. I'll do that in the director's conference.
Yes, that's all I have. Oh, yeah, there's the meeting tomorrow night across the way at 7 p.m. Ruth Brack is having a meeting. She's invited the county engineering department, the parks and rec, sheriff department. Might be wise to have a board member there to see what the involvement is of the community.
Tomorrow night, now what's the agenda or what's the focus of the meeting?
It's a crime one. Crime prevention. Crime and drugs.
Is this the youth summit coalition deal?
Youth?
Because I got a blue flyer and I don't recall the date of the meeting.
Considering we had a shooting
in the
park
about 3 weeks ago. What time is the meeting tomorrow?
7 p.m.
No, very
7 o'clock.
Yeah. It's across the street in the old boarding.
Okay. I should be able to attend that tomorrow night. You know, as you call it, you can say tentative for me. I can be there. Tomorrow night, I'll have everything go. And maybe Alex.
That's all I have. That's good.
All right. Thank you. Any director's comments? Yeah, I have a brief one. Mr. Jones and I attended the Napoma Network meeting on August 31st. Surprised to find out that when I walked in, I was the scheduled speaker. I didn't know until the agenda was handed to me that I was. So I got up and I winged it. Wung or winged? Correct.